Welcome to the Dag Heward Mills podcast. Dag Heward Mills podcast is a broadcast outreach of Dag Heward Mills Ministries, which has the duty to bring you the very best from the vast teaching archive of healing evangelist, best-selling author, and megachurch pastor, Dag Heward Mills. Welcome to our Friday teaching. Giving offerings and paying tithes are a Christian duty and a vital acknowledgement of God's provision for you. Being a giver touches the heart of God and causes Him to help us in our prosperity and finances in order to bless us. Today, Bishop Dag will go back to the basics of giving by teaching you the importance of paying tithes and offerings and why the road to financial blessing is one that you must be determined to stay on. From today's teaching, you will learn 6 rules for how to give offerings effectively so that you will be found pleasing to God.
Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. As we come before your holy word, we thank you, Lord, that your will shall be done in our lives. We shall go forward in all that you have destined for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Amen. I am happy to be back. I was in South America in Panama for a program which I was invited to. And then I was also in America for our shepherd's camp for our churches over there. Hallelujah. So they are all doing very well. We had a shepherd's camp involving all our churches. There, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Maryland, Virginia, Washington, Los Angeles, Toronto, Vancouver. All of them came. Some people drove for 50 hours. That's about two and a half days non-stop driving to come for the camp meeting from Vancouver. The team of the members, the pastors and the members came from there all the way for the shepherd's camp. Amen. Amen. So they are all doing very well. It was a good time to be in the house of the Lord because it was like being in heaven in the sense that you meet people you haven't seen for a long time. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. This morning, I want us to continue a very important series that we began. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 1. And we want to read from verse number 6. It says, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ." Amen. Now, how many know that God has begun a good work in us as a church, as individuals, all right? Now, the point that I keep stressing is that God has only begun a good work. He has not completed. Amen. In our world today, we are very conscious of things that start and end quickly. And then it's done and it's over with. And that is not what God has done with us and in our lives. He has just started a process. Is that not so? Even with the elections, you realize that we want something quick and fast so that like the next day or in the evening, we should know the results. But it must be a very difficult process to count 10 million people's opinions. You know? Do you understand what I'm saying? Because even with our church and just trying to organize, even like our shepherd's camp, it's a very difficult thing to get people to, you know, say this, we are coming, this is what we are doing, you know, so people are here, people are there. And when you go through the various places in Ghana, you know, Ghana is not just Accra and Cape Coast and Kumasi, but it is beyond the villages. Everybody has an opinion, and they are all going to choose. And we want something quickly. You know, it's not an easy thing to have a very quick, what do you call it? And so, but we as human beings, we want things to be done instantly. One, two, and then it's working. Microwave, that is how microwave, the concept of microwave came about. Some food that doesn't take time to make, and then it's done. Everything quickly. But you see, God is working on us. Unfortunately, when God starts to work on us, we often stop him from working any further at a certain point because we feel that we know enough and we've arrived far enough. Many of us, without knowing, think that we are somewhere where we are not, you know. So in our minds, we get switched off or turned off in relation to what God is doing or how he's working with us and on us. Are you listening to me? And so I am trying to, by this series, open your mind and your heart so that you will not be switched off as God tries to work on us and work with our lives. How many understand what I'm talking about? All right, so I'm trying to show you. How many understand what I'm talking about? At the back, are you there? Do you hear me? Are the speakers on at the back? Check, go and check for me, please. All right, perhaps they are not on or there's a different group at the back. Are you the same church? At the back? All right. Now, so God is working on us. Now, one of the areas that he's working on us is our financial lives. Amen. And God has a plan for us. So I was sharing with you 10 steps, you know, to what? Towards experiencing on the road to the financial blessing that God has for us. Is that not so? Because God is working on our financial lives. He's working on our lives. He's trying to let things work in a certain way in our lives. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Can I have another amen?
Amen.
All right. So I began to share with you some of these steps. The first step is what? To know that God wants you to be rich. Amen. To know it, to believe it, to accept it. Hallelujah. Number two is to not seek after riches. Amen. Let that not be your main occupation, praying to be rich. Amen. Because I will be praying that the will of God should be done and I'll get richer than you who is praying for riches. Amen. You'll be praying for riches. I'll be praying for the will of God to be done for the work of God. You'll see me getting more blessed than you who is always praying for money. Because you see, God wants us to seek him and not money. Money is nothing. Amen. Are you listening to me? All right. So I'm saying the second step is to not seek riches. I'm saying it. I'm not saying it's to seek the kingdom. I'm telling you what you should not seek. Anybody who is after, I want money, I want this, I want that, makes you, the Bible says that they that will be rich fall into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in perdition. You see, people are buried in destructive things because of what they are looking for. Many of the politicians, right, are into all sorts of things, not just because they are trying to help the nation, but because of they are after money as well. One of the reasons why it will be difficult for some people not to be in power is because their jobs are linked to it. There are a whole lot of people. If they are no more in power, what work will they do? What income will they have? It's a difficult thing. Are you listening to me? So I'm saying that even as churches, as pastors, you see, as you go along, you see that there can be benefits, but your mind must be, and as you go along in this life, your mind must be that, no, I am not looking, searching, finding, fighting for money, but I am fighting for the kingdom of God.
Amen.
If God blesses you,
Amen.
You take it. We didn't say you shouldn't take it. We said you shouldn't seek it. Amen. Now, what are you supposed to seek? Number three, third step in. You seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You see, this is a very important step to your financial blessing. Decide to seek the kingdom of God. Period. I tell you, you will find some people seeking the kingdom of God getting richer than you who is seeking money. And you will not understand it. And the person, I didn't say the person will not work hard. I didn't say the person will not get a contract. I didn't say the person will not go to work early in the morning. I said the person will, in his heart, he's seeking after the kingdom of God. He's praying for the kingdom of God. At the same time, he's working. He's doing his contract. He's doing going to work. He gets up early. He goes to work. He goes to his farm. He goes to his business. He's working. He's working. He's working. And the blessings come by his heart. Is he is set on things above. His mind is on God and how to build the kingdom of God. Are you there? All right. So that's very important. What's the fourth step? Paying of tithes. Paying of tithes. Amen. Paying of tithes. All right. You find that is one of the first things that you have to experience as you go along with your God is paying of tithes. And today is the first Sunday in December. Today is what? December. 3rd of December. Thursday is 7th. Is that not so? And on Thursday we are voting. But today is Sunday and we are supposed to pay tithes. Amen. Amen. And we're supposed to give our first and our best to the Lord. And I'm saying that on the road to your great blessings from the Lord, without learning to give 10% of your tithes or of your money, of your income to the Lord, you are not learning to thank God for what you have. You see, paying of tithes is an acknowledgement that what you have, what you are, what you will be is from God. That is what it is. Amen. Just as you pay tax, taxes are paid, you understand what I'm saying, as an acknowledgement of the fact that there is a government which is looking after us, building roads for us, providing us with an army, providing us with security, providing us with water, with electricity, with good drainage, with good sewage collection, good education, good hospitals. That is what the government is doing for us. So it is our duty and our acknowledgement of the existence of a government to pay taxes to them. It's our duty and it's a crime not to. Because we are in the country. We drive on the roads they have built. We use the water that they have made it possible for us to drink from the dam. Is it not a, what dam is the one here? Wager. Half of us drink from Wager, half of us drink from Pong. We turn on the lights from the thermal plants they have built for us. So we have to pay taxes and VAT as an acknowledgement of the fact that they have a role in our lives. And if there was no government, our lives would be different. Go to countries like Somalia. We don't have governments. And discover that it's a very important thing to have a government. Go to countries like Sierra Leone and find out what it's like not to have an army. It's a very wild thing. But you see, we are used to these things and we feel that it's supposed to be there. And we feel that it will be there anyway. But what we must realize is that these things are there and they do actually provide something for us. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That is why we have to pay taxes. And taxes can go up to 30, 40%. Even in some places, 50%. Huh? 50%. Where are the accountant? Tony, you're not an accountant. Yeah. Sometimes people pay 30, 35%, 40%, depending on your income, of all that you earn, they pay it out. This is one of the reasons why you see these big companies making donations. It's not because they love What do you call? They love sports, or they really want to help. You know this. They are doing this thing to give away some of the money to reduce their profit, so that they don't have to pay so much tax. It's not because they like Milo and running marathon and all those things that they do. No. It's all a tax. You see, you must begin to grow up and know why people do things. Yeah. Amen. Are you listening to me? So God is telling us that. An acknowledgement that you are alive. An acknowledgement that he gave you the life that you have. Because apart from what the government does for us, God does a lot of things for us. How many know that God does more for you than the government does for you? God does more for us. God keeps you alive. God gives you breath. God gives you a day. God gives you a month. The Bible says our months are with him. Every month we use one of our months. Every month we use one of our months. Bible says our days are determined. Our days are with him. And the number of our months are with him. Our months are with him. Every month we use one of our months that are with him. He's keeping our months for us. Some have got 40 months to live. Some have got 50 months to live. Some have got 500 months to live. Every month you use one of those months. When God finished, your months are finished. That's all. So you must thank God when a month is gone by. Turn with me to Job chapter 14. Job chapter 14. Verse number 1. Let's read it. It says, man who is born of woman is short-lived and full of turmoil. Like a flower, he comes forth and withers. He also flees like a shadow and does not remain. Thou also dost open thine eyes on him and bring him into judgment with thyself. Who can make the clean out of the unclean? No one. Verse 5. Since his days are determined, the number of his months is with thee, and his limits thou hast set so that he cannot pass. Amen. Right here, God is saying that your days are determined. That's why you should not fear death, because it's fixed. It's determined. The day of your death is written. You see, you know when you or the people who are left behind know your date of, it's a born this, died this. But God has those dates already, born this and died this. His months are, he has kept all your months, and every month he gives you one to use. And when they are finished, they are finished. So when a month goes by and God has given you a month to use, and at the end of the month, you don't come back to God and say, thank you, Lord, for the month of November that you blessed me with. You allowed me to see November 2000. I am here. I am alive. I've seen it. Here is 10% of all that you have given me. I honor you with it. I worship you with it. I thank you with 10% of all that I have. That is what a tithe is. And when you don't do that, you are saying to God, I don't even know that you are there. I don't know that you are there, but I know that the government is there. So I pay my tax to the government, but I don't know that you, oh God, you are there. I don't care whether you are there or you are not there, because I know that I don't need you. I can make it without you, oh God. I'm strong. I'm great. I've got willpower. I've got good willpower. I can make it. I know that I can make it on my own. Have I told you the story about the man in San Francisco? I've told you and I'll tell you again. this was a man in an earthquake, and this man was buried under the buildings. After the earthquake came and went, all the buildings were crushed and the man was under. People were searching for survivors. After 3 days they gave up, but just as they were giving up, they found this rich man. This man who was under there, he was still alive, he was still breathing, buried under the blocks. They took bulldozers and so on, cleared away the rubble, and they got the man out of the building, out of the place. And they took him to the hospital, put him on a drip, oxygen, line, IV line, all the lines were on. He was there, oxygen, everything was flowing. The man came back to life. And after a while, he was well enough to sit up and to talk. And so the news reporters came to him, Chronicle and Independent. I think it was CNN. I think it was on the television. And they came to him and said, "Sir, you survived 3 days under the rubble, under this earthquake. How were you able to survive? I mean, what? How does it feel like? How were you able to survive 3 days?" And the man said, "You know, I am a man of determination. And I am a man of strong willpower. And he said, when I decide to do something, I always do it." And so they went along and they asked his wife as well. And they said, "Mama, your husband survived. That's a miracle. And, you know, is there anything you have to say? I mean, how was your husband able to survive? When everybody else was given up for dead, your husband survived." And the woman said, she smiled and said, "I know my husband. He's a man of great determination and a man of strong willpower. When he decides to do something, he always does it." And so they went to ask the doctor. This is a real story. It's not an imagination. They asked the doctor. They interviewed the doctor, his doctor. And they said, "Doctor, your patient, he survived. What is the secret? I mean, how was he able to survive for 3 days without water, food, toilet, anything, just there underground and with buildings on him?" He said, the man said, "I know my patient. My patient is a very determined man, a man of strong willpower. When he decides to do something, he always does it." And you see, the doctors will tell you, "No, your will to live is very important in staying alive. Many people who die give up." So the doctor said, He's very determined. He was determined to stay alive. 8 days later, this man with a strong willpower, he had a heart attack and died. Where was his determination at that time? And where was his strong willpower? You see, instead of giving glory to God for what God has given you and God has enabled you to be alive, instead of thanking God, you are saying that you have strong willpower and you are determined. Your mouth like determination. Let me tell you something. You better learn to give glory to God for what he does for you. If he gives you a job, remember that it's God who gave you that job. If he gives you a contract, remember it's God who made it possible. If he gives you an ability or a talent, remember it is God who gives you that ability or a talent. If you can sing and the singing is giving you an income or is giving you money, give glory to God. I was reading about a pastor who had cancer of the inside there somewhere, and they cut out his tongue. Yeah, they cut out his tongue. They removed his tongue. And to be a pastor and your work is preaching or singing and you have no tongue, you better give glory to God for every little thing that you have. If you don't know, then it means you are proud and you don't know what God has done for you. That is why when you don't pay your tithes, if you are not paying your tithes today and tomorrow and this week and this month, it means you are not aware of what God has done for you. Perhaps you have to visit the mortuary to see people just like yourself. I was in the mortuary 3 weeks ago. I was there to watch a postmortem. And you know, when I went to the mortuary, there were about 9 people coming for postmortem that day. 9 people. Out of those 9 people, there were two men on this side and there were 2 men on this side. And on this side, behind, there were two little babies or 3 little babies, and another one about 5 years old, and another one also about 4, 5, 6 years old. Children. Oh, dear friend, the fact that you have lived to be 8 years and 9 years old is the grace of God. As I look at those little newborn babies, they have been cut out open. 9 years old, 6 years old, 5 years old. My brother, The fact that you have been able to get to 25, 29, the fact that God has given you another month, you must come to God and say, thank you, Lord. November, I thank you that you have given me November to be alive, to be here, to see. If you don't believe me, I'll take you to the mortuary for you to see life for yourself. And your months are with him. Every month he shares one for you. You use it. And at the end of the month, you come and say, God, to hell with you. I'm using all my money myself. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 7, what hast thou that thou didst not receive? And if thou didst not receive it, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou boast as though thou didst not receive it? 10 there. First Corinthians 4 verse 7. And I want you to underline it and circle it. Yes, you may be a doctor, you may be a nurse. It's the grace of God. Woman, nurse, you may not. So some people are nurses, they don't think much of what they have. Look, there are a whole lot of ladies. Yesterday I saw a man who lives in a gutter. I said, yesterday I saw a man who lives in the gutter. I was walking with somebody, I was walking by a very big gutter, and I saw a man, he was hanging his clothes in the gutter. And he had written various things on the wall. And I asked the person I was walking, I said, where is that? Is that where the man lives? And he just looked at me. I said, is that his house? Yes. That is where he lives, in a very big gutter. What have you that you did not receive? And we are in our houses and our rooms complaining and not grateful to God for what he has done for us. Let's all read verse 7 together. Ready, go. Thee to differ from another. Who is it who has made you a little different? Who is it who has given you a little more money? Who has made your face look a little smoother than somebody else's face? Who made you to have a car when others don't have cars? Who made you to have a talent which other people don't have? Who maketh thee to differ from another? Who gave you the ability to preach? Who gave you the ability to walk when you see others who cannot walk? Who gives you the ability to walk when others are not walking? It's God. Who maketh thee to differ? Everything you have, you receive it. And when we pay our tithes and we are giving glory to God and we are saying, Lord, I acknowledge that it's you who gave that to me. And I'm bringing to you my offering. And many Christians don't pay. As the person next to you, it seems that you are the one, this thing is about you. Tell the person, it seems the whole thing is about you. I feel that I have a word of knowledge that you are the person who doesn't pay tithes in the church. Amen. I want you to be grateful to God. Amen. I want you to be grateful to God. Amen. I want you to know that it is God who gives you the ability and the wealth. Who maketh thee to differ? What are the differences? What are the differences that exist between people? Those differences are given by God. Even our personality, our character, it's God who gives us that ability, that difference, that strength. Hallelujah. Amen. How many have decided to be people who are going to acknowledge God every month? You're going to say, Lord, 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 I am going to do what you want me to do. Amen. So, road to financial blessing. What is the next one? Giving of offerings. Is that not so? All right. And what is the next one? I gave you the rules for giving of offering. Is that not so? I gave you only one of the rules for giving of offerings. Oh, really? All right. So let's go to giving of offerings. Amen. Giving of offerings. We must give offerings to the Lord. Amen. Now, I'm going to give you 6 rules for giving offerings. Number one, rule number one when it comes to giving of offerings. 6 rules to giving offerings. All right. Number one. You must give according to your income, all right? God is not expecting everybody to give the same thing. There are people in this church who shouldn't bother to bring CDs to church to give offering. You should just bring your checkbook because the offering that you are supposed to give is too big to hold in your hand, to squeeze. Major, squeeze an offering in your hand. Let's take out something and squeeze it. Squeeze it. Have you got something in your hand? Now look at his hand. Now how much can be in this hand? Not more than 5,000 cedis. 10,000. Yeah. Not more than 5,000 can go into this hand. And so if, and there are people who have more than 5,000 cedis to give as an offering. There are people who can easily give $10 as an offering. $10 is 70,000 cedis. Soon to be 100. Mark my word. Mark it on my side. It's soon going to be 100,000 soon. 100,000 cannot easily go into this hand unless they print 100,000 notes. And there are some people who shouldn't bother to even give a, what do you call it, like that. You should just write checks. Because you are different from the others.
That's right.
Because God gave you more. Who maketh thee to differ? Differ. Who makes you different? In fact, you know what my own says? My own says, for who regards you as superior? Or who made you superior? It's God if you are superior. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
So give according to your income. And there are some of you, when you are giving your 100 cedis, don't feel shy. Don't feel shy. Give it with boldness. Because that your 100 cedis is more than somebody's 100,000 cedis. Far more in the eyes of God. And what matters is what God sees. So give your 100 cedis with boldness. When they are doing pledges, and you know that you can pledge 1,000 cedis, it's going to take you 6 months to raise 1,000 cedis. Pledge it with confidence. That is where you are. And give. Become a giver. You'll be surprised at what you'll become tomorrow. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
All right. Rule number two. Rules for giving. And I gave you 1 Corinthians chapter 16, isn't it? Did I give you some scriptures? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 2. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so do you also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you put aside and save as he may prosper, that no collections be made when I come. Amen. What does the King James Version say? On the verse 2. On the first day of the week, let everyone lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. In other words, he was saying that when I come, I don't want there to be a lot of people are going home to collect their offering. As God prospers you, just lay aside according as God prospers you. So if God has prospered you much, give much. If God has prospered you little, give. If God has prospered you with dollars, give dollars. If God has prospered you with Deutschmarks, give Deutschmarks. If God has prospered you with Canadian dollars, give Canadian dollars. I can't give pounds. Pounds are too heavy to give. Oh yeah? Oh yeah? Then the pounds are too heavy for you to carry from today. Rule number two, quickly. You must give without a show. Without a show. Or without showing off. Matthew chapter 6, verse 3. Johnny, I'm still with you. You can tell me what to do. I will obey you. But when you give alms, verse 3, Matthew chapter 6, verse 3. When you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your alms may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. You don't have to give for everyone to see. If your giving is for people to see, you lose your blessing. Amen. And you know, there are people in the church who've been waiting for us to do fundraiser. We want 5 people who are going to give 10 million to stand up and come, so that everybody sees you. One person who give 100 million, one person who build a foundation. Now, if you want to give 100 million, I'll tell you, if you want to get the best maximum result and blessing from the 100 million, come quietly and privately and say to the pastor, you know, I just want to give this quietly, continue the work of God. Please don't announce it. Don't tell anybody. I prefer that way. I want to give this amount. God bless you. We say, thank you. We receive it. We put it into the bank and we use it for the work of God. Most of the best giving goes on quietly. Don't have to try to impress people. People will just clap for you. And if you don't take care, BNI will come and start working on your case. Yeah. And they will start looking you up. Or serious fraud office. For giving to the church. Because there are spies. There are always spies in the church. There are people here. Today is a Sunday before election. They are waiting to see what I will say. Is he going to tell them that they should vote for NDC or they shouldn't vote for NDC? They're here. They must be here. Ask the person next to you, is it you that the spy from the spy who loved me? Amen. Are you here or you've gone home? Yeah. I'm saying give without a show. Give so that your left hand does not know your right hand is doing it. Sometimes it's not even necessary for your spouse to know. I didn't say go and give your house away and then you come and tell your wife that you have given your... No, I'm not talking about stupidity. That's foolishness that's gone to the sea to happen. Yeah. If I give somebody 100,000, I don't have to tell my wife about it, or I don't have to ask her. I don't have to tell Reverend Saki. Reverend Saki may not agree when I'm giving the money, and he may stop me from giving.
Oh, I will leave you.
No, but do you know sometimes you feel like giving and somebody doesn't feel like giving? You get it? And then when you discuss with a person, you begin to analyze the thing, you realize that, no, it's almost as though I am fanatical or I am some way. Or I am being emotional. And then you end up analyzing the thing. When you analyze a lot, if you give, you know, analysis, if you give, they will think you have a lot of money. If you give, they will say, he has a lot, and this is all that they have given to me. If you give, they will think this. They will think that there are a lot of reasons why you shouldn't give. And why you should reduce it and cut it down to size and do this and do that and do that. All sorts of things. In the end, you don't give. So when God touches your heart to give, sometimes don't even tell your left hand what your right hand is going to do. Just say, right hand, something, hide behind. Then you just take the right hand and then you don't let the left hand. What the left hand mean? Pull the right hand back. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Are you still around?
Yes.
Okay, ask the person next to you whether you are you a giving person? Are you a giving type? Or... Amen. All right, next one. You must give freely. Freely, willingly. In other words, not as a result of compulsion or as a result of being forced to do something. So that's what I mean by giving freely. All right? You give freely. You give because you want to give, not because they are putting pressure on you or manipulating you to give. Nobody should be under pressure or compulsion to give. In fact, personally, when people start to force me to give, I just close up. I don't want to be forced to do something. I want to do it freely and willingly. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Oh, I need a King James version. This thing is... You got a King James there? Hey, you're blessed. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12. All right. For if there be first a willing mind... Let's all read it together. Ready? Go. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he has not. Amen. This verse is again giving one of the rules of giving. It says it's accepted according to what you have. Okay? So God accepts things based on what you already have, not on what you don't have. But he says, if there be first a what? A willing mind. You must be willing. Matthew chapter 10. Turn with me. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 8. heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Amen. Give freely. Give because you want to give. Don't give. You see, let me tell you something. I'm a pastor, but I don't believe in people giving things that they don't really want to give. I was somewhere and some pastors were discussing and they said that they heard me preaching. And I was saying, you know, I was telling the congregation, if you want to give, give. If you don't want to give, don't give. And then some of the pastors said, well, when you have thousands of members, you can talk like that. You know, that's what one of the pastors said. When you've got thousands of members, that's what you can tell people, give. If you want to give, if you don't want to give, don't give. And I said, I don't agree with you. Because I'm not telling people to give if they want to give and don't give if they don't want to give because I've got a lot of people around. But even though we have a large, we have a lot of projects which we need a lot of money and missionaries all over the world. We are financing so many things. But I am saying that because I genuinely want you to be blessed and I don't want you to lose your blessing. And if you give because you are being forced to give, you'll be annoyed. I know people who have gone to fundraisers and, you know, they were made, guest of chairman, guest of honor, and so on. You have to go and sit on stage. And it's like you are forced. The way the thing is, if you don't do something, it's like you are some way. But I believe you must give freely. I want to give. If you listen to the word and you are convinced, you want to give, give. If you don't want to give, don't be forced into giving. Don't go anywhere and be forced to give fundraising when everybody... I've been at programs. Everybody give, I will not give. If I'm not, I don't feel that I should give, I will not give. I'm not like, compulsive. Well, everybody's giving, I'll look like I have to. No. You're giving, give. I also give when I want to give. And I am a major giver. And our church is a major... We give as a church. We give. We support other churches, other ministries. We give. We have adopted the ward at Kolebu Hospital. We do a lot of things. You may not know about. Not everything that we talk about. We are really giving. If everybody, it doesn't mean I have to. No. I should give freely and willingly. Freely have you received. Freely give.
Come on.
So if you don't want to give, don't give.
Yeah.
And if you want to give, give. Yeah. And you are the one who's going to understand it. When you understand it, you will give. People who understand the word, they give so much. So I'm trying to work on your understanding to a point where you become a giver. Jews, they always pay tithes. Ashantis, they are givers. Nigerians, they are givers. I was speaking to one Nigerian lady. She said to me, she said, Bishop, in Nigeria, you cannot drive the car you are driving. No. I've had several Nigerians have told me, the car that I drive, I can't drive that car in Nigeria. I have to drive a Mercedes Benz. Proper one. We said, a bishop of your standing. No. One person, she told me, she said, I will buy. I said, I will personally buy it. And I asked her, I said, why is it Nigerians, you have this culture? She said that, you know, Nigerian culture is such that if you come to your house, somebody comes, the person shouldn't go as he came. He has to go with something. So in my travels, I will go, there may be a lot of Ghanaians. The Ghanaians will look at me, praise the Lord, hello, bye-bye, Pastor, good, you are blessed. But the Nigerian, he will find something small. It's like the culture is, you can't come and go like that. You've come to my house, you must go with something. Yeah. Here is something, even if it's small, they'll give you something. Always the Nigerians, but not the Ghanaians. It's interesting, eh? So they have more of a giving culture, and you'll notice that they see Ghanaians as poor people. And relatively, Ghanaians are very poor. And proud. We will quarrel over our president having a presidential jet. We. But not Nigeria. Oh, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Please don't write to me about that. We will quarrel over certain things, but no. Not Nigerians. You go to Nigeria, you have individuals who have a lot of money, airplanes. I know one airline, they have, I think, more planes than Ghana Airways. Just a one-man private airline, Cabo Airways. Yeah, it's there. We kill our rich people. But there are a lot of rich people, including past presidents, playing golf and enjoying life in Nigeria, but not us. Keep him down. So let's be givers. You notice that Ashantis are more prosperous. Our church in Kumasi has more money than our church in Accra, relative to the number of people. Oh, they give more. You have somebody come say, Pastor, all the ceiling. I've taken all the ceiling. I'm doing the ceiling. Oh, yeah, well, it's not. I'm not telling you. I'm telling you really what's happening. Somebody can say, I'm doing all here. Somebody say, I'm doing all of this place. Some years ago, one of the members in Kumasi, he came up to the pastor and said, Pastor, I feel touched to give you 1 million cedis. Many years ago, nobody in Accra had ever given me 1 million cedis ever before. That boy is my son. Hey, the one in Kumasi is my son in the ministry. I trained him and I sent him to Kumasi. The environment that is a giving, somebody can say, I feel touched to give you 1 million cedis. Just give him 1 million cedis. In those days, not today's 1 million cedis, but those days. I said, yeah. He said, yeah. I said, yeah. I almost transferred myself to Kumasi. I'm just joking. You know I'm joking. No, but I just want you to see that generally there are some cultures which feel they should give more. They give freely and they prosper more naturally. So choose to be a giver. And this Christmas, everybody here is going to give a Christmas present. Did you hear me? I said, you are going to give a Christmas. Nobody should make himself a poor man. You, if you are a poor man, you have one shirt, give the shirt away. Come to church. We are coming. Christmas Day, you come, bring your present, give to somebody. Join the giving community and move out of the receiving community. Become a donor. Become a donor community member. Are you still around?
Yes.
All right. Nobody's annoyed with me yet. All right. The next one, give with simplicity. Simplicity. Romans chapter 12, verse 8 that we want, but just to read a little before, verse 6. And since we have gifts differing according to the grace given to us, let each exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. Verse 7. If service, in his serving. He who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. And he who gives, with what? With what? Simplicity. Amen. 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 Simplicity. Simplicity. Some people, when they give you something, you wish they hadn't given it. After some time, they refer to it all the time. You see, that's my shirt he's wearing. Why? 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 That's my dress. Eh? There are three people in church wearing my dresses today. One is sitting here. One is sitting here. That's my shoe. Look to the right on the floor. That's my shoe, the brown one. It's my shoe that I gave him. Why? Just give and let it go. It should not be a complex thing. You want people to thank you, to remember, to always do ceremonies. It's 1 year since I gave a car to the church. It's 1 year since I gave 1 million. Why? Just simple, without a show. Just give and then just be moving on. And you will be blessed. Next rule. How many rules do you have? Rule number one is what? Huh? Rule number two? Without a show. Rule number three? Freely and willingly. Rule number four? With simplicity. Rule number five? Regularly. Give regularly. Regularly. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And we read verse 2 again. It says, on the first day of every week. Of every week. Of every week. Not a special week at the end of the year. Every week. Every week. We must give to the Lord every week. Because the Lord is blessing us every week. Because the Lord is looking after us every week. Because the Lord is helping us every week. Is the Lord blessing us every week? Oh, is the Lord blessing us every week?
Yes.
Let's all read verse 2 together. Ready, go. On the first day of the week. Amen. My version says, on the first day of every week. Amen. And finally, cheerfully, cheerfully. Hallelujah. Cheerfully. Amen. For God loveth a cheerful giver. What verse is that? 2 Corinthians. Chapter 9. And we are going to read verse 6 and verse 7. Now it says some of the things we've been saying already. Now this I say, he who... He who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Amen. Now verse 7. Let each one do as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver, a happy giver, not an annoyed giver, an angry giver. God wants you to be happy as you give. Amen. And let me give you the seventh and the last important truth of giving, a seventh rule of giving, which is you must give bountifully. Bountifully. I know Tres said, what? Bibri. Plenty. Amen. Plenty. Give a lot. And it shall be given back to you. Hallelujah. A lot. You give a little, you get a little. You give a lot, you get a lot. Amen?
Amen.
Albert, do you believe that? Give a lot. I want you to be a giver. Albert, as you're going home today, bless people. Yeah, buy a meat pie for people. Buy a book for somebody. Look after people before you go. Believe God and bless people. Be a giver. Give bountifully. When you give offerings, give a lot. Give big things. Learn how to give big things to the Lord, and you shall be blessed mightily. And our time is up. Remember this scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. When a man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Are you new creatures?
Yeah.
All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become you. Those watching by television, God bless you, and we'll see you again next time. Hallelujah. Now, before you stand up, we've just finished the TV and we are now in church. God wants us to give a lot. Amen. Let me say something. 43 years after independence. Huh? Yesterday, I was driving around Kasua. And there was so much traffic. So I turned into the back to try and find a Muliganos route. And I was just looking at the dust and the gutters and the backwardness. Friend, receiving has not helped us. Giving and becoming workers, people who rise up to do what they're supposed to do, will take us into a greater blessing.
Amen.
How many are going to become? How many are going to become? Now, there are some families who don't like giving. How many know that there are some people who are like that naturally? Now, you need to find out whether your family is like that. And then whether you are like that without knowing it. Because if you are like that, and you wouldn't even know, nobody will tell you. But people will think it. Say, Mene. Ehamoni. Is that all they say? Ehamonoko. Ehamono. Ask the person next to you, is it you? From today, give bountifully. Amen. Stand to your feet. We will continue next week. All right. How many agree that 43 years of receiving has not made us rich? Huh? How many can realize that? All right. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning in the name of Jesus. Lift up your hands to the Lord. You are the Lord that healeth me. You are the Lord my healer. You sent your word, you sent your word, and you healed my disease. Come on. You are the Lord, my healer. Sing it, I am the Lord that healeth me. I am the Lord, I am the Lord that healeth me. I am the Lord, your healer. Ooh, I said my word and I just lay your hand and be healed of inability to give, and be healed of stinginess, and be healed of unfaithfulness to God in tithing and in paying your first and best. Be healed of every disease financially, poverty, borrowing, receiving only. Be healed right now in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father, for your healing to us today in Jesus' name. And as every head is bowed, every eye closed, if you want to give your life to Jesus this morning, you want to be born again, lift up your right hand. I'm going to pray for you. Want to give your life to God and say, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to God today. Lift up your right hand. God bless you. Lift it up high. I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. Lift it up high. If you've lifted up your hand, come to me in the front from where you are standing very quickly. Come from where you are standing. Come, my brother. Come to me right here. Step out if you want to join them. Pastor, I want to give my life to God today. Come all the way to the front here, and I'm going to pray with you. Oh, clap for them as they come to the Lord. Clap for them as they come to the Lord. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord your healer. Say this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for today. Please forgive me for my sins. Please wash me in the blood of Jesus. From today, I will serve you. I will follow you. Please write my name in the book of life. From today, I am born again. I will follow Jesus and I will serve the Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.